Now, to start my sermon today, I am going to have to ask for help from some of the older members of our church family. Now, can any of you, older members of the church family, explain to the younger members what a ragman was years ago? Who knows what a ragman was? Okay, what was a ragman? They came around. Okay, went with a cart, right? And what did they do? They collected junk and they collected old rags. And what did they do with your old rags? Oh, I'm sorry? Yeah, but you know what? Then they gave you new rags. Don't you remember? They, at least in Minersville, they did. They always would take your old rags and give you new rags. That's what a rag man did. That's how I understand it. That originally the rag man, he walked around town with a cart in the days before paper towels, and he would take your old rags and he would give you new ones if you needed new rags. Not their rag man. I was in a different place, but truly that is what a rag man's function was. If you look up a rag man, that is what he was supposed to do. You guys got gypped. Because originally, the rag man, he gave his old rags, well, he would collect junk too, but he would take your old rags and he would give you new rags for your old ones. It was like an exchange thing that he would do. Now, he wouldn't always give you as many, you know, because he made his living that way. That's how he worked. And he would go home and he would wash those, but then he would exchange. It was almost like an original diaper service. That's what the original rag man was. Well, you have to wonder though, why anybody would exchange something old for something new. But originally that is what the rag man did. They exchanged something old for something new. And you have to wonder how he could make a living, but he always did. In fact, the very, very wealthy fellow in Cressona that had that textile business, that's actually how his father started out, as a rag man. And I talked to him about this. His dad would exchange old rags for new, and that's how they started. And now he's oh my so wealthy, this fellow. But you have to wonder how come someone would exchange something new for something old. Well, the same question could be asked about our scripture reading for today, the exchange that is described in Isaiah 61, especially in verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the captives, comfort all who mourn, give a crown of beauty instead of ashes, gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Well, you don't have to have an MBA from Harvard to know that something is wrong with God's business sense in that. You see, God sent Isaiah out like a traveling salesman. But instead of buying low and selling high, Isaiah tells of a God who will exchange gladness for mourning. He will exchange the garment of praise for the spirit of despair. In other words, Isaiah is like an old rag man who is yelling in the streets, new rags for old. So you would think that people, wherever God would send Isaiah, you would think that the people would flock to him with a message like that. You would think that there would be a line around the block to take God up on such an awesome offer. The oppressed, the brokenhearted, the abused, the prisoners, the grief-stricken. Yet strangely, the marketplace is empty. You know, God stands ready to exchange new garments for old rags, divine riches for human poverty. Yet very few are willing to take him up on his offer. If something is wrong with God's business sense, there has to be something even more wrong with ours. You see, we seem to be a people that delight in our grief. We just love to hold on to our anger. our unforgiveness and our pain. And even though God stands there and offers us gladness instead of mourning, we say, thanks, but no thanks. I'll stay the way I am. Thank you very much. In the rag heap of our hearts, there are lots of old rags for which God would give us new garments. There is a trash heap in our hearts for which God would give us a treasure. But we choose to hold on. And what we're holding on to and hoarding are useless, petty grievances and old wounds. The real or the imagined slights and insults of the past. There was the most famous Christian writer of all time called C.S. Lewis. I'm sure all of you know him, most of you do. And he said one time, he wrote actually in The Weight of Glory, was the name of his of this. He wrote, "Our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. We are like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because we cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a free vacation by the sea." C.S. Lewis goes on and he says, "We are far too easily pleased." You see, we are a people that love to hold on to our old rags. We can have beautiful new garments, but we like the old rags. We're holding on to them. And we don't even recognize it as sin. But sin is what it is. New rags for old. We can hear the old rag man yell, "New rags for old." You know, I read a short one-act play about 20 years ago, and it has stuck with me for 20 years. I filed a copy of it away, and it's called The Rag Man. And if you bear with me, I'm going to read it to you. This is The Rag Man. "I saw a strange sight. I stumbled upon a story most strange, like nothing in my life. My street sense, my sly tongue, had never prepared me for this. Hush, and I will tell you the story. Even before the dawn, one Friday morning, I noticed a young man, handsome and strong, walking the alleys of our city. And he was pulling an old cart filled with clothes, both bright and new, and he was calling in a clear tenor voice, 'Rags!' The air was foul, and the first light was filthy to be crossed by such sweet story. 'Rags,' he said, 'new rags for old. I take your tired rags.' Now, this is a wonder, I thought to myself, for the man stood 6'4". And his arms were like tree limbs, hard and muscular, and his eyes flashed with intelligence. Could he find no better job than to be a rag man in the inner city? So I followed him. My curiosity drove me, and I wasn't disappointed. Soon the rag man saw a woman sitting on her back porch, and she was sobbing into a handkerchief, sighing and shedding 1,000 tears. Her knees and elbows made a sad X, and her shoulders shook. Her heart was breaking. The ragman stopped his cart, and quietly he walked to the woman, stepping around the trash, and said, 'Give me your rag.' He said so gently, 'I'll give you another.' And he slipped the handkerchief from her eyes. She looked up, and he laid across her palm a linen cloth so clean and new that it shined. And she blinked from the gift to the giver. Then as he began to pull his cart again, the ragman did a strange thing. He put her stained handkerchief to his own face, and then he began to weep, to sob as grievously as she had done. His shoulders were shaking, but she was left without a tear. 'This is a wonder,' I breathed to myself, and I followed this sobbing ragman like a child who couldn't turn away from a mystery. 'Rags,' he yelled, 'new rags for old.' In a little while, when the sky showed gray behind the rooftops, I could see the shredded curtains hanging out black windows, and the ragman came upon a girl whose head was wrapped in a bandage, whose eyes were empty. Blood soaked her bandage, and a single line of blood ran down her cheek. Now the tall ragman looked upon this child with pity, and he drew a lovely yellow bonnet from his cart. "Give me your rag," he said, tracing his own line on her cheek, "and I'll give you mine." The child could only look at him while he loosened the bandage and removed it and tied it to his own head. The bonnet he set on hers, and I gasped at what I saw, for with the bandage went the wound. Against his brow it ran darker, more substantial, because it was his own blood. "Rags, rags, I take old rags," he started crying again, this sobbing, bleeding, strong, intelligent ragman. The sun was high and hurt both the sky and now even my eyes, and the ragman seemed more and more in a hurry. "Are you going to work?" he asked a man who leaned against a telephone pole, and the man shook his head. The ragman said, "Do you have a job?" "Are you crazy?" sneered the other fellow. He pulled away from the pole, and he revealed the right sleeve of his jacket was flat and the cuff was stuffed into his pocket. You see, he had no arm. So the ragman said, "Give me your jacket and I'll give you mine." Such quiet authority was in his voice. The one-armed man took off his jacket, and so did the ragman, and I trembled at what I saw. The ragman's arm stayed in its sleeve, and when the other man put it on, he had two good arms, thick as tree limbs, but the ragman had only one. "Go to work," he said. After that, he found a drunk lying unconscious beneath an army blanket. The old man hunched, wizened and sick, and he took the blanket, though, the ragman did, and he wrapped it around himself. For the drunk, he left new clothes. And now I had to run to keep up with this ragman, though he was weeping uncontrollably and bleeding from his forehead, pulling his cart with one arm and stumbling for drunkenness, falling again and again, exhausted, old, and sick. Yet he went with speed. On spider's legs, he skittered through the alleys of the city, this mile and the next, until he came to its limits, and then he rushed beyond. I wept to see the change in this man. I hurt to see his sorrow. And yet I needed to see where he was going in such a hurry, perhaps to know what drove him so. The little old ragman came to a landfill. He came to the garbage pits. And then I wanted to help him in what he did, but I hung back, hiding. He climbed a hill with tormented labor, and he cleared a little space on the top of the trash. And then he sighed, and he lay down. He pillowed his head on a handkerchief and a jacket, and he covered his bones with the army blanket, and he died. How I cried to witness that death. I slumped in a junked car, and I wailed and mourned as one with no hope, because I had come to love that ragman from afar. Every other face had faded in the wonder of this man, and I cherished him, but he was dead, and I sobbed myself to sleep. I did not know, how could I know, that I slept through Friday night and Saturday, too. But on Sunday morning, I was awakened by violence. Light, pure, hard, demanding light slammed against my sad face. And I blinked and I looked. And I saw the last and the first wonder of all. There was the ragman, folding his blanket carefully, a scar on his forehead, but alive. And besides that, he was healthy. There was no sign of sorrow or age, and all the rags that he had gathered were clean again. Well, I lowered my head and trembled for all that I had seen. And I myself walked up to the ragman, and I told him my name with shame, for I was a pretty sorry figure standing next to him. And then I took off all of my clothes in that place, and I said to him, with yearning in my voice, "Dress me." And he dressed me. He put new clothes on me, and I am a wonder. The ragman. This is the story of the Christian faith, from beginning to end. ashes, mourning, despair, God takes all that we offer. But above all, God takes our hearts and He gives us new. Do you remember the words of the very seldom sung Christmas hymn, In the Bleak Midwinter? What can I give Him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring Him a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give Him? I can give Him my heart. Our heart is all that God requires. But our hearts are everything that we are. Because in our hearts are the ashes of broken lives, the grief that comes in different ways to all human beings, our spirits that are battered and bruised and have grown faint over 100 disappointments. Yet Isaiah says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. The good news that God sent Isaiah to proclaim is especially for those of us, any of us, who have known pain, and even for those who sometimes find it hard to make it through the day. In Advent, we're anticipating again among us this peculiar God who not only offers beautiful garments for old rags, but this peculiar God who chooses to live among those of us who don't have any means to buy the merchandise that He offers to us. The same Jesus read these exact words of Isaiah to a synagogue in Nazareth, and then as He sat down, He said to them, "This prophecy is fulfilled in your hearing." That same Jesus is proclaiming good news to the poor in spirit every time the Bible is read and every time He is asked into a poverty-stricken heart. You know, we pay a lot of attention to the needy at Christmas time, and that's a good thing. It's a wonderful time of year to be reminded of what we can do for those who are less blessed than we are. But we have to be careful to not use our good works of the season to forget our own poverty and our own pain in our lives and our hearts. Because God offers us new rags for old, new hearts for old, new lives for old. So take God up on His offer of the unspeakable gift this Christmas. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father God, it seems we have become so comfortable where we are and with these old rags that we live in and day out. Shake us from our complacency, Lord, and help us to not settle for second best when You offer us shining new garments for old rags. Help us to accept the wondrous life that You have to offer us this side of the grave. For we pray it in the name of the One who makes it possible, Jesus the Christ.